Thank you for making Clinton County Daily News your number one resource for the news you need in Clinton County. Now available is Party Line On Demand. Just click the On Air tab. Also now available is Help Wanted, where you can find a job or, if you're a business, find out how to advertise the jobs you already have available. Also, while you're there, let us know your opinion by answering the poll question of the week. And make sure you check the real-time weather radar. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your local free online newspaper.
Hi, I'm Angie from Kramer Lumber. Thinking of remodeling your kitchen? If so, then Craftmade and Kramer have something important for you to consider. Your kitchen isn't just where you cook, eat, and clean. It's the hub of your home. It's your real living room. We at Kramer Lumber can show you how to use Craftmade cabinetry to remodel your kitchen for just the ways you live. Craftmade Kitchens, for the real living room.
Kramer Lumber, we're the friendly ones. We are Kramer Lumber.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, is Ivy Tech seriously the top choice of Indiana's high school seniors? We seriously are. And the top choice of Indiana's adult students, thanks to such reasons as our experienced instructors, our state-of-the-art facilities, our more than 150 program options, and a tuition that's still under $4,000 a year. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Hi, folks. This is Steve Christopher from Hearing Care Professionals in Frankfort. Have you heard about the Starkey Halo made for iPhones? Stream your hearing aid directly to your phone for better hearing in noisy environments. Call me at 659-4327 for a free demo. That's 659-HEAR. I'd love to help you hear better.
Hearing Care Pro.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping, Shelter Insurance. We're your shield, we're your shelter. Kramer Lumber Do It Center. Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Encompass Credit Union. Community-minded, just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse. Call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare. Hardesty Landscaping. Hearing Care Professionals. Hear well, live well. Johnny V's Main Street Grill, Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. When you're looking for simply the best food around, the only name you need to know is Johnny V's Main Street Grill in Frankfort. Johnny V's has great daily lunch specials like meatloaf, baked steak, chicken and noodles, and more. They also offer a great selection of other lunch specials starting at just $5.99. Johnny V's also features awesome steaks, real catfish fillets, and more. Why not try one of their 100% beef Angus burgers or their new mouth-watering prime rib burger? That's Johnny V's Main Street Grill, west side of the square in Frankfort, or you can check them out at johnnyvs.net for more information. Welcome back to Party Line. And we have our guest here today, Center for Public Integrity senior reporter Dave Leventhal, to talk about the special breaks buried in the new budget deal. Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you.
Yeah. Doing a little background, you say that there's more than 30 tax extenders in the budget deal that was made in February. What are tax extenders?
It's it's a question I get all the time. What exactly are these tax extenders? And the fact of the matter is tax extenders have actually been a part of the U.S. federal budget for many, many years. And as the name suggests, it seems as if it's something that would be very forward-looking, something that would extend, in this case, a tax break. And oftentimes that is the case. But what we found in this latest go-around, this latest budget bill, is that Congress, in the midst of rushing through this bill and moving very, very quickly on it, basically wrote into the text of this 2,000-plus piece of legislation a number of these tax extenders that, in fact, did not offer tax breaks to different special interests or different companies going forward, but in fact, they were retroactive. So we thought that given that this was kind of free money for people or organizations not doing really anything that was going to be proactive, but retroactive, that this was a good opportunity for us to figure out exactly what these things were and who was going to get a big special interest tax break in the midst of this major, major piece of legislation passing.
So basically, it's either a congressman or a senator that is doing something, you know, maybe helping their state in some way. In other words, okay, we're from my state, I want to put this in this bill so that who's ever given me a bunch of money and supporting me will maybe get a benefit from this tax bill.
Right, and the idea behind tax extenders over the years has been these are parts of a budget bill that Congress wasn't able to agree should be a permanent part of tax law, so that a certain break that might go to an industry, it might be energy, it might be transportation, could be building, infrastructure, that whatever the break is not going to be permanent and last for many, many years, but it's going to be something that is temporary. Ultimately what they want to do is do something that is going to be good for an industry, going to be good for a type of business. But, since they couldn't agree on it, they'll just do something temporarily, and usually nobody in Congress really says anything bad about it, and it goes through. Well, we found that this happened quite a bit with this latest budget bill, but again, as I mentioned before, this wasn't incentivizing any type of behavior on behalf of the industry. It was basically giving away money for action that's already been done. So that was kind of the controversial aspect of it.
So is it a one-time thing, or is there a life cycle to these extenders?
Yeah, well, the life cycle is kind of twofold. On one hand, they are temporary, so Congress is going to have to re-up them in the future if these tax breaks are to persist. But what we found with some of these tax breaks is that they've been temporary for a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. So something that was meant to sunset back at the dawn of this century has effectively stayed on the books and just been re-upped and re-upped and re-upped. And, you know, we found some real fascinating ones, ones that were tax breaks to Starkist tuna canners.
Yeah, I saw I saw that one. Yeah.
Salad dressing, coal mining. Of course, it was one that everyone would expect, railroads. But you had some ones that were pretty esoteric in their nature. And as a result, really show that if you're a special interest, if you have a good relationship with a member of Congress, if you have a good lobbying effort that you're able to put forward, if you have the resources to go up to Capitol Hill and do all of that, then you've got a pretty good chance in some applications of getting what you want, whether it's having a tax break that, again, is permanently written into the tax code, or in the case of these tax extenders, it's going to be something that is theoretically temporary but may in practice and reality be almost as good as something that is permanent, and that Congress all agreed is just going to be there for perpetuity or close thereto.
Yeah, because I'm assuming that sometime in the future, when this bill is reviewed again, or somebody's looking at all these extenders, then maybe they don't go through them one by one and say, okay, we need to get rid of this one, because the entire tax bill is written such that this is written into it. So maybe they just said, let's renew it, and not go through them. Some of these I can understand, like biofuels, nuclear power, railroads, alternative fuels, but things like craft beverage makers, racetracks, some of these just are very questionable. Newman's Own Foundation, which is, Paul Newman's different dressings and stuff. I don't understand why in the world these would be a part of that. And it's just amazing. Racehorse owners. Why would a racehorse owner that has, $15 million horse, why would they even be a part of this? How does that get included?
And sometimes, to step back, the reason why we tackled this, we ended up writing basically an article for every single tax extender that passed in the budget. Mm-hmm. And we had the same question. Well, what exactly is going into these very, very, in some cases, odd tax extenders? Why do they even exist in the first place? And what we found and what we detailed in our project, which published on publicintegrity.org last month, is that there were some very, very, you know, strange and oftentimes technical reasons for why these were going forward. And it might deal with, for example, depreciation and rules governing that. It might have to do with the types of investments that the different companies or industries were making, or they wanted something that was, you know, from Congress that was going to affect them and them only, but wouldn't affect anyone else. So that's why they were specifically asking for it. So, you know, I think the one thing, though, and you alluded to it before, that is generally true is that Democrats and Republicans in Congress don't really like these tax extenders. They all acknowledge that, or most of them acknowledge that, there's probably a better way to do this, but it's also very difficult for a Congress or one member of Congress to go to another member of Congress and say, hey, you know, we're not going to go forward with the tax extender that may be very, very important to a company or an industry in your district because we don't think it's good policy. And that person's going to say, well, if I'm not going to get my tax extender or the one that I care about or the one that my constituents care about or the ones that I want to help a lobbyist out with, then they're all going to have to go away. And then Congress, being Congress, effectively punts, and they don't do anything about it. But I did attend a hearing that it occurred the day after we published our project, which was about tax extenders. Vern Buchanan, who's a representative, a congressional member from Florida, chairs a subcommittee for the Ways and Means Committee, and this very issue was on the table. It was about a six-hour hearing. They had testimony of roughly 20 people from industry, people who were advocates for tax extenders, against tax extenders, all testify, and I think you saw Democrats and Republicans both chafe at the idea that tax extenders should be something that goes forward for ever and ever and ever. But the big question is, are they really going to do anything about it? It's difficult for members of Congress from different sides of the aisle to agree what color the sky is on any given day. So as a result of that, doing something as thorny as getting rid of these types of tax breaks, it could be problematic, you know, for the future of tax extenders.
Yeah, and more than likely, I mean, more than likely, these tax extenders, these companies are putting money in the pockets of the congressmen. I mean, they just are. I mean, they're supporting their campaign, they're supporting their office, and so. Yeah, they're giving me, you know, $100,000 every year to, you know, to run my campaign and be a part of our group, and so I want to make sure that they're getting all these deals so that they continue to do that. That's why I am so much in favor of term limits, because that stuff would not happen as often. It wouldn't be allowed.
Well, You're correct that in some instances the entity that was lobbying for a certain tax extender mm-hmm. did have a relationship with a member of Congress or members of Congress who, for lack of a better phrase, were carrying the water for those lobbying interests. Mm-hmm. Now, it's difficult to always draw a line to say, well, because somebody got a campaign contribution, they're doing the bidding of some lobbyists, but in our project we were able to illustrate a number of examples where that type of relationship did take place. There were other examples where we couldn't find any relationship like that, and it literally just seemed as if in some of these tax extenders you had an industry or a company that was just looking for kind of a very minor technical change that was going to help them, and but for that tax extender, their industry would have been hurt, and nobody wanted to hurt that industry. So it's difficult to broad brush all tax extenders as being good or bad, or, you know, on the side of righteousness or the side of evil.
Right.
People can get pretty passionate about this. Which is why, again, you know, we wanted to take every single one on its own merits, look at it, look at the relationships involved, look at the people involved, look at the money involved, and try to track it to its route or root source to more or less map the route of power and map the route of money. We found some rather fascinating things with a few of them that both of us have mentioned in the past few minutes.
Yeah, in the February budget, it basically having these tax extenders cost the U.S. Treasury about $16 billion in lost revenue over the last decade. And so if it's costing us, you know, revenue, you know, well, which it is, again, I come back to term limits. Do you believe that if we had term limits and, you know, we had a senator from the state of Indiana a few years ago that was in office for over 30 years. And so I have a problem with that. You know, if we had term limits, these companies would not be able to have as much leverage as they do with, you know, ongoing relations with these, you know, senators and these congressmen. And, you know, they wouldn't have time to build these great relationships to be able to offer these kind of subsidies, basically.
And you and about, 101 other people who I've talked to over the past few years have brought up the same issue of term limits, saying, oh, we wish we had them. It would be great if we did. Mm-hmm. Nobody should be in office for their lifetime.
Right.
And in some cases, especially in non-competitive congressional districts where it's very, very much controlled by a Democratic or a Republican population, if you're the Democrat, if you're the sitting Republican in a district like that, you're going to be back. You're in and you're out. Election cycle in and election cycle out until you decide to step down. Now, that's not always the case in districts, but in a good number, that is the case. Now, the counterpoint to all of this is that, or not necessarily a counterpoint, but the reality check is that if you think it's difficult for Congress to get together and agree on doing away with tax extenders or changing the way that that particular system works during the budgetary process, just imagine how hard it's going to be to get Congress to agree to basically self-limit and agree to some sort of change in the way that we elect our elected officials. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they are all elected officials themselves, and get them to agree that there should be, you know, only 4 terms that you can serve, or 8 terms, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to make a change like that on the local level. And I covered city government in Dallas, Texas, for example, back last decade at the Dallas Morning News, the Dallas City Council. They had term limits. You could serve 8 years, and then mm-hmm. you had to step down. And there are many, many other cities, many other types of local or state governments that do have something like that in place, or, you know, it would be easier to consider a change like that. In Congress, I would not hold your breath. As much as a lot of people would like to see term limits happen at the congressional level, it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that any such change is going to be made anytime soon, simply because there's just not the unanimity behind it. And there's, you know, not overwhelming calls for it. There are other issues that very much are kind of on the top of the public's political agenda and lawmakers' political agenda that is simply at this point in time are way above the issue of term limits. It's a tough sell, and again, even if a lot of people would like to see it happen, it's probably not something that is going to happen really anytime soon.
Well, the one thing I look at is, you know, somebody in the House of Representatives, you know, they're in for 2 years, and then they have to rerun again 2 years, rerun, and it seems like the right after they get elected, then because of it's a 2-year term, they're running for office again almost immediately.
Right.
And it just seems like to me that the House of Representatives should be 4 years, and it should be a limit of 2 terms. In regards to a senator, they serve for 6 years, and to me it should be limited to 2 terms. Because we always need, I don't know, my opinion is we need new blood, new thoughts, and honestly, to keep business from getting into their pockets or, you know, becoming so ingrained that they make decisions not based on what their constituents want, but what on business, you know, what business is handing them and manipulating them, saying, I want you to vote this way for this, I want you to vote this way for that. And because they're supplying so much money, then they're voting that way. Now, you could say, you know, the other part of you could say, well, hey, if their constituents don't like it, they can always vote them out of office. You know, sometimes people vote without really thinking. Well, I guess a lot of people vote without thinking or without doing background or anything like that. So I don't know. That's my opinion on the term limits. And I just, it just really bothers me, the House of Representatives, you know, 2 years, and they're right after they're elected, they're rerunning again and just, you know, out on the campaign trail, spending money again, and, you know, continuing to get money from special interest groups.
Well, you certainly seized on the notion of the permanent U.S. political campaign, which we see time and time again, where absolutely somebody gets elected and quite literally it may be days or a couple of weeks later, and they're already conducting fundraisers in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere to raise money for their next run, which will be 2 years hence. And that wasn't always the case, even in recent times. And I don't want to overstate the matter here. It's not always the case with all members of Congress, but for many it is. And there used to be kind of a time to legislate, which was the off year, the non-election year, and then a time to run, where you start ginning up your political machine and raising money from folks and really running for re-election in the calendar election year. So 2018, it's an election year. You would expect that members would be running hard during 2018, but that 2017, maybe not so much. Well, we've seen plenty of examples of folks raising a lot of money, and in some cases conducting fundraisers all the time in order to fuel their political ambitions. And, you know, with President Donald Trump, he also is really changed the game from an electoral standpoint, in that he in reality filed for re-election to run in 2020 on the day of his inauguration in 2017, January 20th, 2017. So quite literally, from the moment that Donald Trump became president, he was running for re-election and actively raising money toward his re-election. We just got new campaign finance numbers that were filed with the Federal Election Commission just over the weekend, and Donald Trump's political campaign for 2020, his re-election campaign, raised more than $10 million during the first 3 months of this year. And, you know, he's really the only candidate who's running at this point, and he's been able to raise tens of millions of dollars since becoming president for his re-election campaign. Now, some people may love that. Other people may be aghast. But the fact of the matter is, whether you like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump, he has done something that no other presidential candidate has done, which is raise money from the moment he became president of the United States for his reelection. So it remains to be seen how that's going to change the way that politics are waged, both for Democrats and Republicans going forward. But he has changed the standard, and that's going to probably mean that you're going to have a lot of candidates entering the presidential campaign for 2020 even earlier than they did the last go-around, when you had candidates, many, especially on the Republican side, announcing their candidacies in early 2015, or at least making moves to run in early 2015. Get ready for a presidential campaign that effectively is going to last the better part of 2 years, starting after this fall and into the winter. We're basically going to have the presidential election afoot if things keep running on this path, which I'm sure lots of people are just like, wait, didn't we just have a presidential election? And here we're talking about the next one.
Wow. Well, hey, we have a caller, so they either have a question or a comment. Good morning, caller. Okay, I cannot hear the caller whatsoever. Dave, can you hear the caller?
Yeah, I was able to hear the caller. I think the question, if I got it correct, is are tax extenders a tax break? The short answer is yes, they are a tax break. Now, they come in different forms. It's going to be different for every beneficiary, but yes, basically a tax extender is something that will give some sort of financial benefit to the entity, the company, the industry that is asking for a tax break. So it's real money. It's money that interest, whatever it is going to save. And if they didn't get that tax extender, then they would have to pay the government more money than they otherwise would. Now, some people are going to think that's a perfectly good idea. I mean, great, you get to pay fewer taxes. The government isn't taxing you as much as it would otherwise. Wonderful. And many of the people who are beneficiaries of tax extenders make that exact argument. The counterpoint to it is not so much whether somebody's getting a tax break or not. It's the process by which they ultimately get the tax break. And, you know, a lot of folks that I talk to likened it to the sort of a special interest giveaway where if you had a really close relationship with a lawmaker or you had a very, very strong paid lobbying force to make your case up on Capitol Hill, you were more or less winning something that others were not. So it's an issue of fairness, an issue of equitability, and it's also an issue, too, of timing. As we talked about earlier, these tax extenders oftentimes were in past years seen as a way to incentivize an industry doing something. So they would get a tax break for, you know, changing the way that they did their business to be more efficient. They have some greater public benefit. You saw this especially in the transportation and the energy industry. But many of these tax extenders, again, were not extending anything. They were actually cutting off at the 2017 tax year. So more or less, Congress was saying, well, okay, you don't have to do anything going forward, but because of things that you did or maybe didn't even do in the past, we're going to give you a break that you're going to apply to your previous year's taxes. And that's what really kind of ruffled a lot of feathers, especially from those who were, you know, fiscal conservatives in Congress, that this is just not the way that the process is supposed to work. This is not the way that the system is supposed to run. And by virtue of that, we really need to rethink the way that we're doing these tax extenders. Is this the best way that government should be run? And that's kind of an open question right now. And
yeah, because
Democrats and Republicans are debating.
Yeah, they're certainly using a lot of taxpayer dollars to be sent to these companies. So, hey, we need to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping Shelter Insurance, Kramer Lumber Do It Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Johnny B's Main Street Grill, Ivy Tech Community College, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
At Encompass Credit Union, we provide a list of financial services, from online and mobile banking technology to easy-to-apply online loan applications. We offer credit cards and loans at competitive rates, so stop by or give us a call. We can tell you all about the services we offer. We're an equal housing lender. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
Community-minded, just like you.
After surgery, getting back on your feet isn't always easy. Milner Community Healthcare is here to support you throughout your recovery process. We offer the perfect environment for you to heal and get stronger. A speedy recovery and returning our patients home as quickly as possible are our primary goals. We're honored to be a quality-rated nursing facility and have served our community since 1971. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare for short-term rehabilitation.
Want to make your yard the wow yard of the neighborhood? Then call Jeff Hardesty and let him create a landscape masterpiece for you. His crews are accredited or certified in the landscaping industry. Not just a bunch of guys with a truck and a shovel. Real landscapers, you know what I mean. For quality installation, innovative experience and design, it's always Hardesty Landscaping. Don't hire another landscaper until you talk to Jeff. Call him at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
Mother's Day is a date to celebrate the wonderful mothers in our lives. What better way to say I love you to your mother or grandmother this year than with a table arrangement, or beautiful fresh-cut flowers, or other beautiful surprises from Sparrows? Call Sparrows now while you're thinking about it, and they can take care of the rest. Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse knows how to help you say Happy Mother's Day. Give them a call now at 654-5544. That's Sparrows, 654-5544.
At Shelter Insurance, we know landlords have to keep up with their renters, even if they're related.
Mom, Dad,
we just dropped by to pick up your
rent check.
I'm running a little short this month.
Not everything works as smoothly as Shelter's renter's policy. It helps cover stuff in case of fire, theft, and more.
What if I just move back into my old room?
Oh, you mean Dad's new man cave?
Oh, man.
Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
Stop by and see Jennifer Ping at 1746 East Wabash Street in Frankfort, or call 765-654-7028.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter. Kramer Lumber Do It Center. Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Encompass Credit Union. Community minded just like you. Susan Casper. State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse. Call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare. Hardesty Landscaping. Hearing Care Professionals. Hear well, live well. Johnny V's Main Street Grill. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Welcome back to Party Line, and our special guest today, Dave Leventhal, to talk about special breaks buried in the new budget deal. So how long, Dave, have these been a part of our government?
So we've they've been several decades, but the way that they're sort of in the form and fashion that they are right now, better part of the last two. And although we've been talking about tax relief and tax breaks that a lot of people think are not worthwhile or that should go away, it should be noted that, especially sort of at the outset of the notion of a tax extender, that these oftentimes were truly temporary, that they were tax breaks that went, for example, to an area that might have been very hard hit by a natural disaster. I'm thinking Hurricane Katrina is a good example of this, where an area that was very, very hard hit, going through a very difficult time, would get some tax relief from the federal government in order to incentivize investment back in that area, building in that area. And the Gulf Opportunity Zone Act in 2005, again, related to Hurricane Katrina, great example of a temporary tax relief that was going to try to incentivize house building and investment in education, even demolition costs for the cleanup that was going to be taking place, environmental remediation. This was all stuff that needed to be done, and they wanted it done quickly, the government, and they wanted it done well, so taking an action of this sort was seen at the time as being something that was going to forward the collective goal that few could argue with, that this area needed to get rebuilt and it needed to be cleaned up and it needed to get back on its feet. But that is not really what we're talking about here with the latest round of tax extenders and tax breaks as per the budget bill. Although that still happens, these tax extenders, the ones that have been on the books sometimes for many, many, many years, they're just kind of the opposite of the notion of a tax extender. They're not temporary. They're not there for just a year or two. They're there for, in some cases, just many, many years, and don't go away because nobody
Readdress it later on. You know, President Trump promised to drain the Washington swamp, and this kind of stuff is what I thought maybe he was talking about, you know, this kind of tax extenders. I know that a nuclear production tax credit buried on page 90 of the federal budget's bill is poised to provide roughly $1 billion in benefits to Southern Company. It's a subsidiary of the Georgia Power. And the only one that's going to benefit this is the Southern Company. And so they have aggressively courted federal officials, spending more than $106 million on federal lobbying efforts since 2010. So this is another example. I mean, it's only going to benefit the nuclear production tax credit is only going to benefit this one company.
Right. And, you know, we talk sometimes about how there may be a general benefit for certain types of tax centers. This was one where we found that it was quite the opposite, that this was very, very targeted at a specific company that had a close relationship with Johnny Isakson, the senator from Georgia, who is a member of the Senate Finance Committee. And he definitely played a leading role in getting that tax credit, and they got it. So it sort of illustrates the point that we were making before, that in some of these cases, not all, but in some of these cases, it really takes a particular industry, or in this case, a particular company, having a very, very close relationship with a member of Congress. They get the tax extender put through. They get the tax benefit put through. And nobody stood in the way of it because, well, you know, when you have a budget bill that's moving so quickly and gets passed and it's so complicated and it's quite literally thousands of pages long, you're not going to be able to have a debate or an argument over every tiny, teeny little provision, and stuff gets through. It gets flipped into the folds of this massive bloated bill, and nobody, you know, really says boo about it. So here we are. Now, again, that could change in the future. There have already been hearings, as we mentioned, dealing with tax extenders and whether the process will change. But this nuclear power plant situation in Georgia is kind of a shining example of, how just a very few number of people kind of under the darkness of a fast-moving bill can get this done and get it done in a way that very much benefits a extremely narrow special interest.
And the thing is, Congress needed his vote to pass this bill in order for them to, so he put his in there, and he said, okay, you vote for mine, and I'll vote for yours, and they all needed each other. And so, you know, you've got 30 of them, over 30 of them here, tax extenders. So, you know, probably close to, one per state, I'm guessing, that, somebody put in that says, hey, these people are supporting me. So, I need to help them out by giving them these tax breaks and these. Say, I do want to bring this up, though. The Center for Public Integrity. So tell us just briefly, we've only got about a minute left, briefly, what is the Center for Public Integrity? And apparently under your direction, you've received numerous awards, including the Epi Award back in 2017. So,
absolutely. And so we've been around since 1989. We're based here in Washington, D.C. We're a nonprofit investigative news organization, and we exist very much to hold government accountable. We don't care if you're a Republican. We don't care if you're a Democrat, liberal, conservative. That does not institutionally matter to us one iota. What we do care about is holding government officials and powerful people accountable for their words and their actions. So, if you go and look at the publicintegrity.org, our website, we partner with many other news organizations. I think you'll see that we write about all sorts of politicians, and we write about a lot of issues that don't have a real demonstrable partisan bend to them per se, or may go against conventional wisdom about how politics works. So the bottom line is that we spend whatever time we need to spend in order to get to the bottom of a story. So we're not chasing headlines. We're not too worried about the latest press conference that's being held or the latest tweet. What we do care about is writing investigative articles that are deep and are going to tell people things a lot about what they don't know concerning how government works, or for that matter, doesn't work.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Party Line, and that's going to do it for today's show. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to have Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Hey, have a wonderful day. Try to keep warm.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.